Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it's August 5th, 2013, and this is the Q&A call for the Affair Recovery Library and EMSO. We have three questions today, so let's go ahead and get started. First question. My husband and I have been separated for almost a year and a half. He's involved in the lives of our two teenage sons and seems to have no hard feelings toward him, and they seem to have no hard feelings toward him for leaving. However, he's been in an adulterous relationship the entire time, and they don't know about that. It's been very difficult for me, and I'm praying and believing God will restore and heal our marriage in his perfect timing. Recently, my husband told me and our sons that we are going to divorce. He told me it has nothing to do with the other woman. My question is, do you think it's wise for me to tell our boys that my husband has this other life? I just know for myself, I want them to know who and what they're believing and basing their feelings on. However, I also want to protect them from hurting more. I know all things will be revealed, but they're being lied to and deceived, and I'm not sure how to handle this. If you do not think I should tell them, how should I handle my grief around them? If you think I should tell them, what do you think I should say? Thank you for your opinion and feedback. What an incredibly difficult situation, and I just want you to know how horrible I feel for you just having to go through that. I would not tell the boys at this point. If they ask, I would explain to them that a marriage is between two people, that it's not something that they need to be involved in, that in fact, they need to worry about their lives right now, that they're still going to have a father and a mother, that someday, when they're older and when it's appropriate, and you know, it no longer makes a difference in terms of the relationships or maybe when it's going to be beneficial for them, you will share the whys with them. But to tell them at this point is only going to complicate what's going to be happening in the near future and make it more difficult for them. And for their sake, I wouldn't tell them. Now, if they ask a direct question, I think I would just say, you need to talk to your dad about that as to the whys. But, you know, we've both decided that it's not going to be in your best interest right now to let you know, but that someday when you're older, we will, if you still want to know, we can let you know. I know that they're being deceived right now, but when they do find out, I can promise you how you carry yourself now is going to speak volumes to them in terms of your love and your integrity. If they ask why you're grieving, certainly, I think it's fine for you to say to them, this is not something that I want. It's not something I ever wanted. And I'm, you know, obviously grieving over the fact that this has happened. And again, I'm not going to talk to you about the whys, but I can tell you that I love your dad. I always loved your dad. I didn't want the divorce, and I certainly feel that we didn't need to get divorced, that God was more than capable of working things out. But it takes two people to make a marriage work, and at this point, he's not interested, even though I am. And you can say that much. Hopefully, you know, you will begin to, I hope, find some new paths. This is an ending. If he chooses to go forward with this, and I would suggest you work hard at trying to find, you know, looking at what all has ended in this and get closure on that. Because after we finally can let go of what was, that's what opens up the doorway for new beginnings, for us to begin to create something new, to have new vision and new direction. But right now it's going to be about grieving. And, you know, going forward, I wish I could tell you there was an easy way, but I'm sure you're going to go through a myriad of emotions. And I just, again, hate that you're in that place. I will be praying that somehow you get through that and that your boys get through it. And again, in the long run, like you said, the truth will be revealed, and how you handle this will say a lot to them about your integrity and also be an example for them about how to protect their children when they have their own kids. Next question. I'm dealing with my wife's infidelity. We've attended a recent EMS retreat. My wife is committed to giving me the 90 days of no contact from the AP, but continues to insist that she misses talking with him and sees him as a friend. I struggle with wondering what the future holds. I know each person lets go at their own pace. My wife says she's been forced to let go of friends her entire life, which causes her to hold on to this relationship. It is true that a relationship is a true relationship can heal if she chooses to and not let go of her relationship with her AP. How will this impact our ability to reconcile our marriage? What can I offer her when she makes these comments to me? I welcome your feedback. You know, if you are in the first 90 days, I would still say that it's very early, and you never know the end of the story by the beginning. I can't imagine how painful it is for you when she makes those comments. I would say that it has to be her decision, and she has to see it, you know, she has to have her motivations for beginning to do that. You ask, is it true a relationship can heal? And absolutely. I mean, I talked already today with a couple of people who have gone through that same thing, and they're doing great. And they thought they would never let go of the other relationship, and they thought they would never have feelings for their mate again. So it's more than possible. I think that all you can do when she makes comments like that is say, I know that's got to be really hard for you. Try to be empathetic. But I know the course that I feel God's calling me to and where I'm going to be going in my own journey. I hope you choose to join me. But, you know, my goal right now is to become the man of integrity that God's called me to. And, you know, if I'm not what you want, certainly I, you know, am not going to try to stop you. But I appreciate the fact that you're giving it the 90 days. Because you don't control. And what can you offer when she makes these comments? Just that very thing. Say, I know that's got to be really hard for you. I know it's hard for me. So I would hope that someday you'll feel differently. But I know what my choice is at this point, and I hope we can come to the same page. But right now, again, what's most important to me is becoming the man that I need to be, and maybe someday I'll be someone that you would want to be with. And I think that answer, at least, you know, it doesn't put pressure on her. It makes no false promises. It just lets her know your path, and hopefully she'll follow that. You have to remember that women don't want to be the adventure. They want to be a part of the adventure. And if she knows kind of that you're on a path of becoming something, that you've got an adventure you're on, finding who God's made you to be, maybe that will be something she'd like to be a part of. Who knows? But I do wish you well. And our final question for the day. It will be 2 years in October since I went through Harboring Hope. My former husband lived with his affair partner for a year, then married her. He's left our children and grandchildren and has no relationship with them also. My question is, how does a man deliberately leave a 31-year marriage, two grown daughters, two son-in-laws, four grandchildren, mother-in-law, and extended family? He left his practice after 30 years to start all over in medicine in another location. Has there been anyone who has lived this, who has wisdom The marriage was very difficult with counseling over a long course of time. He would abandon and reject daily, but then act as if he was happy and loved me. Then the cycle would begin again. After 25 years ago, I finally gave up and asked for an in-house separation, which he accused me of being like a divorce. I began to rage and beg and plead for him to relate, give, clean up his mess in life, you name it. I begged for connection. You can imagine what he accused me of to get the divorce. I stood by until he married her, asking God to restore the marriage. So my question is, can you help me understand such behavior? I want to get on with my life, were the last words I heard him say to me. My heart still quenches when I remind myself of such. I told our girls he had a right to be happy. Oh, he told, not I told, he told our girls he had a right to be happy. You know, I think the first thing that goes through my mind, it's so funny. To me, if someone's pursuit is of happiness, and I've said this before, it's not original with me, but probably about the only relationship he's capable of is a relationship with a goldfish. Because relationships and happiness, to some extent, are mutually exclusive. And it's really about loving. It's really not about trying to see how well someone can love you. Not to let anybody off the hook for not, you know, loving their mate. It sounds like you tried hard. But in the long run, we often think that the solution to our misery is a new circumstance, a change of address, a different mate. Research shows only 10% of happiness is based on our situation. So I can tell you that he probably is pursuing something that he thinks will make him happier. I also believe, and he feels entitled to that, which to me would speak a lot of self-centeredness. And how does someone do that? Well, I think they have to be thinking primarily of themselves and not other people. Dallas Willard says radical evil is nothing more than self-centeredness. And to me, when someone totally abandons those that love him for the sake of their own happiness with apparently little or no thought to the others, then you know, self-centeredness is all that comes to mind. And so somebody like that has to be probably somewhat narcissistic, I would think. I mean, I don't want to diagnose, but there is a part that their image, their happiness is what they're interested in, and they blame everybody else for their unhappiness, which means that they take no personal responsibility, which will leave him in the long run forever a victim. Because someone like that can't accept responsibility. They're not going to accept responsibility. Because if they did, then ultimately they'd have to look at themselves, and it would be them that needed to change. And apparently that's not something he's willing or going to do at this point, which, you know, I hate for your sake and for the sake of your girls and for the sake of your grandkids. So I hope that explains maybe a little bit as to the why. If there's a problem in a relationship, ultimately I hope and pray that people will look at it and figure out what needs to be let go internally for me to find a new path. You are faced with an interesting situation now, though, and it's how do you somehow grieve what you've lost? And what's the ending that's happened? Because to me, until we get through the ending and come to a place of acceptance and look at what we still have, it's difficult to start even looking at how do I make a new beginning. Even after endings, what you're going to find is that there's a place where you just feel empty and void or neutral. But eventually, life begins to come back again. It's a letting go. And I know it would be nice to be able to understand some of the whys. And you may or may not be able to find all of those beyond what I've explained. But I know that as you look at yourself, take the time to look at what are the things that have ended for me now. And try to make, you know, a list of those endings. And those are the things ultimately that you have to grieve. And so I wish you well in the grieving. And hopefully, you know, we at Affair Recovery can be supportive for you in that process. I just hate that you've gone through this. And I pray that, you know, you find healing and you find new life, an extraordinary life, that you become a life giver and a healer to your daughters and to your son-in-laws and your grandkids as you go forward, that somehow you can be a light and a testimony to new life. But I know that may be way beyond where you're at and just seem impossible right now. But those of us who have moved beyond, I promise you, we actually believe you can get there. I know that others have. And it sounds like you're a survivor. And as difficult as it is, survivors are the ones who keep moving forward, eventually trying to let go of what was and then make good with what they've got left. So with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us on the call today. Hard questions today. And I want to wish everybody well. I hope you have a great week. And I look forward to answering any questions that are posted next week to healing.